Greetings, I'm Bill Kladke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Rachel Leith, who's Enforcement Branch Chief for the Baltimore Field Office of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD. And Rachel's here today to talk to us about fair housing and HUD's various efforts to improve our community. So, Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks so much for coming. I know you're busy. It's been a while since you've been on the show, and that's good. I'm a taxpayer. I love to see our public servants working. And first of all, though, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, and I hope there aren't many, but maybe there are some, could you tell us a little bit about HUD?
Yes. HUD is a, in 1965, became a cabinet-level agency for the federal government, which the mission of HUD is to create strong, sustainable, inclusive communities and quality, affordable homes for all.
Great. And your job and responsibilities are, I guess, as enforcement branch chief, that means you're supposed to make all the enforcement work, right?
Yes. So I'm in the Office of Fair Housing and Equal Opportunity, which is one of the program offices within HUD. We have a responsibility, the mission of the Office of Fair Housing is to eliminate housing discrimination, promote economic opportunity, and achieve diversity and inclusive communities. Uh-huh. And so in that capacity, we have a few different activities. Our office oversees. My role is chief of the enforcement branch, deals with fair housing complaints. So when somebody believes that their fair housing rights have been violated, they can file a complaint with our office. If it's deemed jurisdictional, it's assigned to one of my investigators on my staff, and we investigate and then make a determination whether or not there's reasonable cause to believe the Fair Housing Act was violated. We have in the other branches of our office, we also have a compliance branch. They're responsible for performing reviews of fair housing policies and practices of recipients of federal funds. They also are involved in working with our partner agencies. So we have a few programs that our office oversees grant funding for. One is the Fair Housing Assistance Program. These are state and local partner agencies that have laws that have been determined to be substantially equivalent to the Fair Housing Act. Mm-hmm. So we partner with them and we actually refer cases over to them. They'll investigate some of the complaints that come into our office and make determinations. And so we work with them on that program. And there's also what we call the FIP program, which is the Fair Housing Initiatives Program. And this is a program through which HUD provides grants to local organizations that work on fair housing issues.
Mm-hmm. It sounds, in other words, HUD is a one of the classic federal agencies that basically has set up a network of other agencies on the local level that it works with.
Very much so.
And part of your role is to make sure those agencies are doing their job. But of course, the most important role for the public is to help them and work with them in tackling the problems. Yeah. How can someone find out more information about HUD and the office?
I highly recommend HUD.gov. HUD.gov is full of great information about all of HUD's programs. The Fair Housing section provides all information about the various laws, fair housing protections. There's great links to if you want to file a fair housing complaint, you can do it right on HUD.gov. And it walks you through the whole process with what will happen after you file a complaint. If it's a finding that there potentially was a violation, what happens? If there's a finding that there wasn't a violation, and it's a great resource for all things HUD and fair housing.
That it is. And so HUD.gov. And for your office and to lodge a complaint, what would be the contact best for that?
For complaints, I also recommend HUD.gov. Uh-huh. There's a link to what we call the HUD 903, which is the form that you file a fair housing complaint on. So for anyone with access to the internet, I think that's the best approach, is to go online. You could complete the form online, it then get submitted to our office and assigned to an intake specialist who reaches out for any additional information that's needed. We also do have a hotline, a fair housing hotline, which is 1-800 669-9777. And callers can also call that hotline number and initiate a fair housing complaint through that number.
Okay, great, great. And I know that HUD is organized on a regional basis nowadays.
Yes. Yeah, so in Baltimore, we fall under HUD Region 3. And so we all we work as a region. All our work goes up through the regional office in Philadelphia. Our region includes five states plus the District of Columbia. So it's Virginia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, West Virginia, and the District of Columbia are all Region 3 for HUD.
So you're in charge of enforcement in all those states?
Yes. Yep. My team and does investigations in all those states.
Mm-hmm. That means you have to drive around, huh?
We drive, we fly. We do like to operate as much face-to-face as we can. It's not always possible, but we, I think, have some advantages over some other parts of the country where, you know, you're driving 10 hours to the next city. So we do try to take advantage of that and hold meetings and do investigations face-to-face as much as possible.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Thank you. Thank you. And what's your, are you from Maryland?
I'm originally from Michigan. Uh-huh. I came out to the DC.
It starts with an M.
Yes. Following college, after I graduated college, I came out to the DC area and initially took a job with the Department of Justice in a civil rights office. So I started out in a civil rights office where we were monitoring grantees who were receiving federal funds for civil rights requirements. From there, I then went over to the Internal Revenue Service and worked several years in a EEO office, more doing strategic planning around EEO, working to figure out how we could integrate equal opportunity, diversity, inclusion into all the practices of the program office I was working in. And then from that job, came over to HUD.
Great. Thank you. So you really have kind of a multi-perspective on things that that are going on.
I've been fortunate to, I think, work in just various aspects of the civil rights field, which is I've enjoyed, and it's given me a broader perspective on civil rights issues.
Yeah, well, I thank you every time you come here on behalf of the CHERUB, because of course the CHERUB is funded by HUD, and I see us as part of a partner, and we're part of the network.
Absolutely,
referring each other and talking to each other all the time about how to make things better and how to deal with things that are going on. Let's start with the law. I know that you and I have been doing this a long time, and I'm sure you would agree with me that unfortunately a lot of folks don't know the law.
I would agree. And it's, I think, you know, the thing that struck me the most the first time I got introduced to fair housing was how broad it is. You know, most housing transactions in the United States are covered by the Fair Housing Act. There's some narrow exemptions for religious organizations or for a housing provider that's selling one single family home without a broker, or if they live in a building with no more than four units and the owner lives in the building. But those are very narrow exceptions. And so
relatively
overall,
few.
And relatively few. Yeah. So most housing transactions, whether it's renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or any other housing-related activity are covered by the Fair Housing Act. There's seven protected categories under the Act. These are race, color, gender, religion, disability, familial status. I might have missed one. Race, color, national origin, sex, disability, religion, familial status. Seven categories.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. And essentially, when I try to summarize it to people, I say, well, one thing to look out for is if you have an itchy feeling. If you have an itchy feeling that it's not quite right, there you should follow up on that, because there's probably a chance that you're right. You know, but I guess the fundamentals of the law are as the name of, you know, the Equal Opportunity Committee, treating everybody equal in any transaction.
Right. Yep. So some things that the law prohibits are refusing to negotiate with somebody because of a protected class, refusing to rent, refusing to sell, making a discriminatory statement. We see ads sometimes, no children or pets. It's, you know, the language in the act is, you know, you can't state a preference for a particular category. Falsely denying that housing is available. We see these complaints come in our partner agencies do testing on this, where they'll send somebody out from one race and they're told that there's no housing available. Send somebody from a different race and they're told there is housing available. And this is, it's interesting. There are some other states where they're even able to record these, you know, testing investigations, and you see, and it's just, it's a violation, clear violation of the act if you're falsely representing the availability of housing.
Yeah. And as your busyness shows, and the busyness of the Department of Justice, your partner in a number of these prosecutions shows, the discrimination is ongoing. It's continuing. The same kinds of things that you would think that people would have learned by now are illegal, they're still doing.
It is true. Yeah,
it's phenomenal, isn't it? It's shocking.
It is. It amazes me. Yeah, how much has changed and how much hasn't changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about the complaint process. If somebody sees that that for example, they go in and a real estate person, for example, says, "I'm only going to, you know, I think you would be most comfortable living in this particular neighborhood," and you know, that isn't really what you want to hear. What can somebody do?
So that sounds potentially steering, which is prohibited by the Fair Housing Act, which is, you know, directing somebody to a certain location based on a protected category. So if anytime somebody believes their fair housing rights have been violated, they can contact our office to file a complaint. We do an initial review to make sure we would have jurisdiction over that allegation if proven true. And if that's the case, then we file a complaint and HUD would investigate further to see if there was a pattern with this housing provider of you know, taking that same action.
Uh-huh. And that can include testing, such as you referenced before?
Yep. Some fair housing partners can go out and do testing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for HUD, once an investigation is opened up, we have a lot of ability to request documents and look at records and just look at the full operations of a housing provider.
And what can HUD do if HUD finds that there is a violation?
So at the conclusion of our investigation, we issue a finding of whether or not there's a reasonable cause to believe the Fair Housing Act is violated. And I should back up, you know, part of our process too is we do try to conciliate cases. So we have a two-track process where every case that comes in, we're launching a full investigation, but we're also working with the parties to see if we can reach a voluntary agreement to settle the case. If we're not successful in doing that, we issue our finding on the case. If there's a determination that there's no reasonable cause the Fair Housing Act was violated, the department doesn't take further action on the case at that point, on the complaint at that point. The complainant would have a right to take it to court themselves for up to a 2-year period from when the alleged violation occurred, not counting any time it was open at HUD.
Okay.
If HUD does issue a finding that there's reasonable cause to believe the Fair Housing Act was violated, there's two options at that point. That kind of the default is that the case would be heard by a HUD administrative judge.
Mm-hmm.
Both parties, both the complainant and the respondent who the case was filed against, they could also, there's about a 30-day, maybe 45-day window where they can elect to take it to federal district court. If either party elects to take it to court, we then partner with the Department of Justice and they represent the complainant in that case.
Wonderful. And I know that there is a prohibition against retaliation.
That is correct. Section 818 of the Fair Housing Act prohibits any housing provider from both retaliating against somebody because they exercised their fair housing rights or assisted somebody else with exercising their fair housing rights. And there's also just an overall protection under Section 818 for harassment, for intimidation, coercion. That's all covered under Section 818. So we sometimes do see complaints come in, and we have to amend them to add a retaliation allegation if there's an action taken by the landlord that is alleged to be retaliatory.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, though, we're out of time. Could you give us that contact information one more time, please?
Sure. For the website, HUD.gov, and the toll-free FHEO hotline, Fair Housing hotline, 1-800-669-9777.
And I guess you would agree with, I know that you would agree with me, if someone out there thinks they might have been discriminated against, or that a friend of theirs or relative, whoever it is, make the call. It's free.
Yes, it's free.
And it isn't going to stop unless people complain.
That's correct.
Amen. Amen. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Rachel Leith, who is Enforcement Branch Chief of the Baltimore Field Office of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, for being our guest today. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you, Bill.
Keep up your good work for all of us. And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.